I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Look, I very much hope the Senate takes up and passes the Save America Act. It's simple, common sense legislation. The House has passed it now. It critically does two things. Number one, it requires proof of American citizenship to register to vote. And number two, it requires a photo ID to vote. That is common sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans agree with it. And unfortunately, Democrats in the Senate are absolutely opposed because as a party, they have decided that voter fraud is good for them, that they want illegal aliens voting for them. That's how they stay in power. They don't want photo ID.
That's exactly the point made by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, echoing sentiments of other Americans who want to protect our vote. This is so common sense. How can the left continue to defy it? Oh, they find their ways. They find their ways. They carry around buckets of manure and it smells like it, but they want to tell you everything is sweet and rosy. Do not believe that. Do not believe it when they try to say the Voter ID Act is basically trying to disenfranchise many Americans, especially minorities. That's not true. Not true at all. I mean, and some of them are even arguing now this is going to keep women from voting. If they just got married, they've still got a name they had when they were born on their birth certificate, but now they're married and they can't show I'm married. Bring your marriage license if you need to. And you probably have more than adequate time between the time you get married and you actually go to vote, so you can't reapply. You have to do it to get a new driver's license. You might as well do it all at one time, right? Oh, that's common sense. I got it. I'm going to take you back in time here in a moment, and I'm going to tell you it will be at warp speed. We're going to jump from here we are in 2026 back to 1996, and you're going to hear someone proclaiming exactly what Senator Ted Cruz just did. And when you hear this guy, you're going to think, I think I know that voice. I think. We'll find out. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. I strongly encourage you to do so. We're on the air right now, so that means you can go to News Talk STL Rumble, watch the program. Larry Connors USA, Rumble. Facebook, Twitter on either one as well. And everything goes up later as a podcast, audio and video. In case you cannot stay with us all the way through each hour. Podcast available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And remember, you're never out of touch. You got your cell phone. Download our free app, Newstalk STL. Newstalk STL. Download it on your phone, absolutely free. And when you want it, you simply open it up. And here's what I do. And you should share this with your family and friends. We have two great FM signals, 101.9, 94.1. But there are times you're in and out of zones that may not be as strong. And we have various atmospheric interruptions. Every radio station deals with those. I don't care if you're AM or FM. And we're also limited by the FCC as to how far our signals are allowed to go, so we don't step on other stations. I think there's some stations in this market that are stepping on our signal on a continuous basis. I think we might need to have the FCC take a close look at them and back them down. But here's the beauty of the Newstalk STL app on your phone. You can hear it from anywhere. You can go anywhere in our nation, anywhere in the world, and you can hear us. And here's the tip for you and your friends to share. Open it up while you're in your car and then play our programming from Newstalk STL through the speakers in your car via your Bluetooth. Digital signal, absolutely pristine clear, coming right through the speakers. modernize, catch up. Glad to have you on board. And again, thank you for joining for today's program. In our next, I remind you first, though, with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right now. I guarantee. Next hour, blow-by-blow fight as Missouri Senator Hawley goes after the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. He didn't stand a chance. He was wiped out so fast. And Hawley kept punching. Now, you can say, oh, this is all theatrics and made for TV and a future commercial. I don't care. It's damn good listening and a great example of how the left has no answers because they lie and they change and shift shapes so many times. Later in this hour, the story behind the story, news censorship, that is something I'm strongly opposed to, but I'm going to admit to you, there are cases where news should be censored. And I'm going to admit cases where I have made sure that a story got censored, never made it to air, or not at the time they were trying to do it. I'll explain why. The story behind the story yet to come. Now, let's go back to, I told you that after you heard Senator Cruz defending the SAVE Act, Protect Our Voter Integrity, I said, I'm going to take you back in time. Let's jump in the time machine and jump from 2026 back to 1996 in this speech from Congress.
First of all, Social Security card is used from one end of America to the other as an identification card right now. Who are we kidding? If you want to pass a law and says it shouldn't be, I would ask the chairman and the distinguished minority member of the Social Security committee to pass that law. But let's admit the truth. Everywhere people go, they're asked for a Social Security card. In fact, one way to prove you're a bona fide person who can have a job is to ask for a driver's license and a Social Security card. This is an anti-fraud amendment.
It's an anti-fraud amendment. Did that voice sound familiar to you? I know it did. You're having a hard time placing it. Let me help you out. From 1996, that was Chuck Schumer saying we need voter ID to protect our voter elections. He insisted it's a fraudulent protection. We're trying to prevent people from stealing our elections. This is what he had to say in 1996, and he was very emphatic. Let's continue.
This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, et cetera. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
I echo his words. I'm with Chuck Schumer, as he spoke in 1996. But, of course, the winds had shifted, haven't they? And they're all about illegal immigration and everybody getting to vote if they want. Vote more than once if you want. We don't care. As long as you vote Democrat. We just saw the House pass Chip Roy's Save America Act to keep non-citizens from voting in U.S. federal elections. Every Democrat voted to stop it. Just what you heard from Chuck Schumer. But He, of course, in the Senate hasn't voted, but all the Democrats, led by Hakeem Jeffries, they voted against the SAVE Act. All Democrats, except for one, Texas Congressman Cuellar. The bill ends up passing 218 to 213. It would require a new federal proof of citizenship mandate and voter registration, impose requirements for states to keep their rolls clear of ineligible voters, and would require photo ID to vote in any federal election. Democrats say this is a voter suppression. It's not voter suppression, but here comes House Minority Whip Clark. She's accusing Republicans of trying to make it also harder for women to vote. She says the legislation will make it more difficult for married women to cast ballots if their surname is different from their maiden name on their birth certificate. What kind of idiot are you? And that you think the American women are? They don't know that if I get married, I change my name. I may keep my maiden name as a hyphenated name, but you'll have to do it to get a new driver's license. You had to do it to get a new voter ID. It's not keeping you from doing that. But she insists Republicans aren't worried about non-citizen voting. They're afraid of actual American citizens voting. Why? Because they're losing women. There is clearly an uninformed voter who is in Congress. Of course, all this still has to go through the Senate. Current rules dictate they're going to need several Democrats to meet the 60-vote threshold to overcome a filibuster on it. And one Republican in name inside the Senate, usual suspect, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, has already said she's going to oppose this new election law protection. Bottom line is, even if they get through the Senate, they're going to have that vote to overcome President Trump's veto of them trying to cancel it. Louisiana Senator Kennedy makes it very clear what's at stake.
This discussion we're having is not a discussion about how we should use scarce taxpayer resources to fund the Department of Homeland Security. This is what's going on. The Karen wing of the Democratic Party wants to defund ICE. Just like they wanted to defund the police. And we know how that vampire movie turned out. The Karen wing of the Democratic Party is in control of the Democratic Party.
Point made. Point made. That's really what I want you to hear him say. He was obviously talking about the defunding effort underway, defund ICE, all that. But the Karen wing of the Democrat Party is in control again. That's why they want to vote against protecting the vote. Left-wing violence, by the way, is obviously increasing. Leftist leaders will not step forward and say, this is wrong. They, in fact, encourage it. I want you to listen to Missouri Senator Schmidt in a congressional hearing with FBI Director Patel.
Mr. Director, I want to ask you, the man who tried to kill Republican congressmen at the congressional baseball practice, nearly killing House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, left-wing or right-wing violence?
Sir, I believe it was a left-wing ideology.
Okay. Burn down cities during the Summer of Love in the George Floyd riots, left-wing violence or right-wing violence? Left-wing. The Waukesha Christmas Parade Massacre, left-wing or right-wing violence? Left-wing. The Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt, left-wing or right-wing? Left-wing. The Covenant School shooting in Nashville, left-wing or right-wing? Left-wing. The Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on President Trump, left-wing or right-wing? Left-wing. The Trump International West Palm Beach assassination attempt, left-wing. The Abundant Life Christian School shooting, left-wing. The United Care CEO's murder, left-wing. Tesla's burn, keyed, damaged, firebomb, left-wing, left-wing. The murders at the Israeli embassy, left-wing. The ICE facilities, firebomb, left-wing. The Minnesota Catholic school shooting, left-wing. The anti-white Charlotte and North Carolina stabbing, left-wing. The attempted Utah News State firebombing, left-wing. And now, of course, the culmination of this vile trend, a left-wing assassination of Charlie Kirk.
And then, of course, we have the Canadian case. Just earlier this week, children and a teacher killed and are wounded. Left-wing violence by a transgender. And where's the left coming out and saying, we got to stop this. This cannot be allowed to happen. They say nothing, except maybe we need more gun laws. But the violence that we've seen under the cover of all of this, there still lies a vile hatred that even if it does not manifest itself in trying to kill someone, it is dangerous. Listen to what happened when Vice President Vance took his son to Disney World.
These people are creating an environment where things like this are inevitably going to happen. A couple of months ago, I headlined a fundraiser in Southern California, and since, you know, we'd be out there anyways, my wife and I decided to take our kids to Disneyland one weekend. We had fun, and to be clear, most of the guests said very nice things, or they just left us alone. But there was a loud and very cool minority that would shout at my children, who were 8, 5, and 3, whenever they got the opportunity. You should disown your dad, you little shit, one middle-aged woman yelled at my 5-year-old. Tell the Secret Service to protect the Constitution, not your father, screamed another. Are these women violent? Probably not. Are they deranged? Certainly. And while our side of the aisle certainly has its crazies, it is a statistical fact that most of the lunatics in American politics today are proud members of the far left.
Wonder how proud they are that they shouted at 5- and 3-year-old children such vile things. The left is often complicit in a lot of this. Point, Minnesota.
False statement.
You took $10,000. Here's
That's
what true. Happened. They went to your office.
That's a
they
false
solicited
statement.
Money from they you.
Did
they
not
solicited
come to my
help
office.
From you.
That's also wrong.
They came to your office.
No,
it
they
was
didn't.
Your official office. You
no,
met
they
with
didn't.
Them for 54 minutes.
No, they
They
didn't.
Asked you for help. You pledged it to them, and they talked repeatedly about money. In fact, it's all they talked
That's
about.
A lie.
Money, 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 money.
True.
They said,
untrue.
We will put our dollars in the right place. We will support candidates that will fight to protect our interests. You replied, That's right. They said,
oh,
if you are securing your
true.
Donor base and securing your power base, you can act the way you want. You replied, money is freedom. They said the amount of money circulating, I'm reading the transcript, the amount of money circulating
you're
in our community today is powerful, and we haven't realizing it in a meaningful way, and you said, give me the specifics, and 9 days
Sir,
later, you took $10,000
that's
from people who were then indicted. It's in your reports.
Sir,
why'd you do it?
It's Sir, in your reports.
Was it worth it?
You know what? This is a theatrical performance.
10,000. This is the truth.
It
this is what accountability looks like, of which you've had none.
No.
You helped fraudsters defraud your state and this government of $9 billion, and
Sir,
you got a fat campaign contribution.
And we're going to get into that more in our second hour as Missouri Senator Hawley went after the AG Ellison, Minnesota. For this hour's out, the story behind the story, advocating new censorship. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Bend, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is the publisher of The New American. That's a magazine from the John Birch Society. He is Steve Bonta. Steve, welcome aboard, first of all.
Hey, great to be here, Larry.
Now, I want to get some foundation laid because you guys build yourselves as a nonpartisan civics and education organization. You know that many Americans look at the John Birch Society and every decades as right-wing, not just right, but radical right. Your response?
Well, what was once radical right is becoming mainstream, and certainly most of our positions over the decades are being vindicated. So what was once regarded as tinfoil hat territory has become the nightly news.
All right. Now, I want to get that down. I want to make sure the audience understands everything. We have no sacred cows on this program. But this week, Attorney General Pam Bondi was testifying before the House Judiciary Committee about the Epstein files, and something happened in the process. But before we get to exactly what she did, what we have seen and has been redacted and released regarding the Epstein files, are you satisfied?
Not at all. Not at all. No, I mean, it's pretty clear that that a lot of people are still being protected. I don't know if that's going to be successful in the long run, given the surge of popular discontent and anger over this thing. But yeah, it's very clear. And you know, there's such a fire hose of information. We still haven't seen a lot of what's in even the material that's been released, let alone the 1.5 million pages that have yet to be released. So there's more coming, but it's, yeah, there's no reason for the redaction of many, many individuals. I mean, for example, there was one, they even released the original, plan to indict Epstein from way back, 20 years ago. And the co-conspirators' names that they plan to indict along with him or considering indicting are all redacted, for example. And that's just one, for instance. And many of the worst emails, they deliberately redact the sender's name. And it's just the outrage never seems to end with this.
And I think we agree that we should redact and protect the victims.
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the things that they apparently have done, at least according to Thomas Massey, is pretty much blanket redacted the names of all women involved. Although, as we know from Ghislaine Maxwell's story, not all the women involved in this are victims either. And there's also the concern that some people who start out as victims may have been, effectively complicit, traumatized into becoming co-conspirator. Yeah, right. Complicit. And so now there's talk about offering amnesty to them. That's probably a just thing to do. But a lot of these, a lot of these emails, you look at it and say, yeah, that's probably from Prince Andrew or somebody or some rich sheikh in the Middle East. And there's absolutely no basis for redacting names like that.
To make it very clear, you're suggesting the Trump White House and Pam Bondi have all said that we're going to make everything public. They're still not, because they're protecting who?
Well, I don't know who is protecting whom, but for example, you know, in an organization as large as the Department of Justice and the FBI and so forth, there are lots of people in there who are still corrupt. I mean, because, you know, Trump and Pam Bondi did not, nor in practical terms, were not able to clean house entirely. So there are plenty of malign elements in the government itself. I'm not, you know, Trump's motives are far from unclear. I was not at all happy at the way he, you know, insulted people who demanded, you know, continued to demand disclosure and said, this is just all a Democratic hoax and on. And yeah, obviously the Democrats are playing this for all they can. That's how politics works. But, whether or not Trump, I don't, the evidence doesn't suggest that Trump himself was complicit. He seems to have been one of the first people to sour on Epstein, realize what he was all about. But on the other hand, it may well be that some of his wealthy buddies and campaign contributors and crucial allies were involved. So I don't know how deep the cynicism runs.
Now, one part of Trump's name being in the files that's unredacted is that talking to the sheriff near Mar-a-Lago and saying, making it clear that Epstein is no longer going to be welcome on my property, like you, just making him aware that I don't want anything to do with him. This was years ago. That's the only reference I've seen to Trump and Epstein directly. Have you seen anything other than that?
No, I mean, and that's the main thing, and that would seem to exonerate Trump as far as that goes. I mean, one thing that we should be clear of, and I think even Trump's, hopefully even Trump's, you know, more clear-eyed supporters are aware of this. You know, that he was quite the womanizer back in his
day. Sure.
You know, he writes about it in his own books. He doesn't cover it up. And one of the characteristics
I'll say it for you. Could I've been there, a sexy rich man, and has it? No, not quite all of that, but yeah, I know where you're going.
Well, some of the no. Well, actually, what I was going to say is a lot. You know, they learn to be discreet, and they learn, for example, you watch out for the jail bait and all that, that kind of thing. Some of them don't. Obviously, Bill Clinton didn't, you know, and the evidence is absolutely damning where Clinton is concerned. But where Trump is concerned, a lot of men like that tend to say, okay, yeah, we got to make sure that they're over 18 and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, that's part of the received wisdom among people who choose to walk the philanderer's path.
You're listening to Steve Bonta. You know, he's publisher of The New American with the John Birch Society. Since you brought up the Clintons, they are due to give depositions before the end of this month. I believe Bill goes first, Hillary second. I expect these to be closed-door depositions as opposed to a public hearing at this point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been saying for decades that accountability is never going to those two are going to skate. I mean, they have been. It was evident to me way back in the 90s that they were exceptionally well connected to these types of people, that they are plugged into the establishment, and they can do no wrong. It's just amazing the way that the media and the establishment closed ranks around the Clintons during the scandals, and even today, after all the Me Too movement and all this sort of thing, they're still very uncomfortable really coming out and saying, yeah, Bill Clinton, he was a bad guy. He did this in spades. He was just as bad as all these other, villainous, that for some reason they are just off limits. And I don't expect that these testimonies are going to change anything. You know, I think they successfully avoided the statute of limitations on most of their crimes. And they'll probably both of them live to an evil old age and die leaving justice unsatisfied.
All right. Well, let's move quickly in the last two or three minutes we got here. I mentioned Pam Bondi testifying for the House Judiciary Committee about the documents she had. And word came to light that members of Congress were going and doing searches for various names inside. Like, where's Trump's name? Where's Trump's name? Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of Washington was one of them. Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, top Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, said it's an outrage the DOJ is tracking members' investigative steps. Even House Majority Leader Johnson has condemned it. What's your reaction?
Well, I don't really know. I can't pretend to get inside Pam Bondi's head. You know, she thinks like a lawyer, obviously. And, lawyers tend to think in terms of, well, you know, if the evidence isn't there, you have to be really careful and so forth and so on. And so I can't really give a more satisfying answer than that.
Well, is there anything wrong?
I think there's a lot yet to be learned.
Is there anything wrong with searching to see if a certain name is inside something?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And, you know, although I'm given to understand that searching for names is very difficult, the way that, you know, the documents are organized. And, you know, it's you have to know what document you're looking for ahead of time. So I for this reason, I think there's going to continue to be a fire hose of new revelations for weeks, if not months to come, just based on this batch, because it's not humanly possible, even with the assistance of AI, it would seem, you know, to go through all this stuff expeditiously. Well, and then, of course, if some of the documents are re-released in unredacted form, that'll be a new can of worms. So this is going to be the gift that keeps on giving. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I believe that. Now, but just the search, I mean, if you're going to search something, you know how it is, you go to Google or whatever your search engine is, and you put in Larry Connors and Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump and see what all comes together where all three names appear or something like that. That's anyone can do that. You don't need to be a member of Congress to do that. But they're pulling it from they're pulling it from files that have been under wraps and where names have been redacted by the government.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and make no mistake. I mean, I don't think, you know, Trump is not going to come out of this smelling completely like a rose. He's does not pretend to be a saint. Okay. You know, but I think compared to a lot of the other people involved in this, most of them, in fact, you know, he's certainly less culpable. Let's put it that way. I mean, his main problem seems to be guilt by association with Epstein, whereas a lot of these other people clearly were. You know, Bill Gates, I was quite surprised at the degree of Bill Gates' involvement. He's another one that's obviously going to be. But again, you know, so much time has elapsed. I don't know if there are going to be any prosecutions. People are saying, you know, I'm still waiting for the arrests. Yeah, well, the problem is that they're going to run up against the statute of limitations if they haven't already. And that may be the reason that we finally got around to releasing this.
Well, Speaker Mike Johnson did say he didn't think it's appropriate for anyone to be tracking what members of Congress are searching. Your quick response to that before we wrap up.
Yeah, I agree with him. That's probably true. The members of Congress can search for whomever they do and, you know, draw their own conclusions and say what they wish.
All right, Steve, been
great.
Let
the chips fall while they may.
Thank you. It's been a very engaging interview. Again, Steve Bonta, publisher of The New American, John Birch Society publication. And we'll do it again, sir.
Thanks a lot.
You
great
bet.
To be, talk to you.
Thank you. God bless. Now, you would expect that Larry Connors' decades in the news business is against censorship, especially censoring any news reports. I am, and yet, I will have to admit there are times I've been in favor of censoring a news report. And in fact, I put my foot down and said, we will not air this. That's the story behind the story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The report is telling us that freedom of expression is having a pressure from all over at the same time. So the report is saying that since 2012, freedom of expression has declined 10%. And when we look at the trends that are causing this decline, you can find that different kind of accountability institutions have weakened, like judiciary systems, for example, has been manipulated. Also, journalists are facing pressure, all kind of pressure. So economic, financial, physical, online pressure, which keeps continuing, and it's very deadly also. Then when we look at the technological change, the technology is developing in a speed of light, and we can't keep up with that.
Can't keep up with it. That is a member spokeswoman for UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization. It's an agency of the UN. It's meant to protect freedom of press. And that's what she was kind of going through. What we're trying to do is make sure what everything's done properly and with full freedom. Well, good luck with that in other countries, much less sometimes in our nation, if the Democrats and legacy media are in charge. And I will also add, even if members of the far right are in charge of various publications or operations, censorship is one of the things I hate. I hate. Now, there are occasions where I have not only accepted it willingly, but I've wanted to impose it. And that's part of the story behind the story for today, because there is a case where news self-censorship had value and still does. You know, during World War II, we had the Office of Censorship, established actually in 1941. The whole idea was to manage information with the Office of War Information, controlling media, restricting news on troop movements, casualties, technology like the bomb, of course, and often relying on the reporters' self-censorship. Reporters during World War II, if they were in the theater covering it, they were actually dressed like soldiers. They wore the same uniforms, basically. And so for anyone wanting to kill a soldier or an ally, they didn't know they're killing one of them or a reporter. And yes, we have had throughout the world numerous journalists killed for doing their job because someone did not want them to make a report on a specific person or item or a series of such. And there are parts of the world where they don't go after just the reporter. They go after the family, killing the spouse, the children, the pets. And if that's not enough, they go looking for their relatives or anyone who might have had coffee or spoke with him at some point in the past. During World War II, though, when the government censorship began, it was led, by the way, by a guy by the name of Byron Price. And he's the one who established the code for newspapers, radio, and magazines to follow. And the main point was make sure sensitive information did not reach the enemy, and basically pushing for voluntary compliance. Nowadays, the leftists would be going crazy. That's wrong. You can't do that. Let them know everything we're going to do. Back then, we had more Americans than Marxists and communists in the midst of this nation. And they had their loved ones on the front lines, so they wanted to protect them. And yes, there were the campaigns, loose lips, sink ships. And it wasn't just for the media, but for anyone that might have some of the information. The OWI, the Office of War Information, tried to manage what the public saw and heard through newsreels, posters, radio, trying to ensure a positive, unified message and preventing any careless talk, as we were saying. And back then, if you went to a movie, there would be a newsreel. It might say it was produced by Paramount or somebody like that, but it was basically a government production showing great things we were doing and achieving. Military control obviously required accreditation for journalists. You couldn't just walk up and say, hey, I have letters I send to people, an early blog, you might call it. I want to be certified. No, you're not going to get it. You don't have the audience. We're not going to do it. So they were restricting access to the front lines, mandating that reports of casualties or strategy be cleared. That often stalled negative news. So the American public never really knew what we were or were not accomplishing. Other than for some families, unfortunately, a knock at the door and they open it and there's a military officer and maybe another officer or even a chaplain with them as they went to deliver the news in person that your loved one, KIA, killed in action. And of course, male censorship was involved. All male coming into or going out of our nation, all male was subject to review to prevent intel leaks. Girls sending notes to their boyfriend saying, I love you, can't wait for you to get back. They would still be open and see for sure what they had. I'm not saying it happened in every case, but every letter a soldier wrote that was sending anything back, they made sure they did not mention where they were exactly, how many men they were around. They had to. Can you imagine trying to keep all of that under the lid now with the mass intel sources we have and artificial intel available? In Nazi Germany, they used the media to glorify the regime. Well, we were doing the same thing. To be quite honest, we were. And in Nazi Germany, they were not publishing any of their failures either. In the UK, they censored news to, again, manage public morale. All of this considered effective for all sides. It became more contentious when we went to the Vietnam War. And reporters were in the field and they were reporting basically at that point on film and sending it back. And I remember stating then and saying, you know, it's not too far away in my mind where they'll be reporting from a battlefield while it's underway. And of course, we are now there in live time. And I also remember saying, and it would probably be brought to you by Johnson & Johnson bandages or something like that. We're at a point far from where we were at that point. And again, if you're an American, for the most part, you don't think censorship is going to be a threat to you anyway. Well, 30 British subjects are arrested apparently every day for speech crimes, including grandmothers, clergy members, tweets, peaceful protests. The medical doctor, a grandmother at 12, in the Finnish apartment, I should say, waiting a verdict on a 2019 Twitter she sent out that cited a Bible verse. So it can go way, way over as well. Back to the UNESCO, talking about self-censorship.
When we look at the self-censorship, it's like stories are not really banned. They're not just told. Journalists are protecting themselves because of all the risks that they are facing when they are reporting.
Tari, when we're talking about self-censorship, what does this eventually mean for the news that people consume or people read?
Well, one could say that journalism is getting weaker because if there is an idea for investigative story, journalists are afraid because they have seen that a colleague, for example, has been intimidated online. So this investigative story never goes beyond the basic idea, or an important name in the story has been erased, or the topic that is an idea never actually is never developed because it's a too sensitive issue, such as like corruption or holding local authorities accountable or writing very critical article about pollution or other climate change related issues. So journalists are afraid, and fear is something that is making journalists to choose silence rather than writing.
All right, so it's silences and chills. And she had to throw in environmental. If you're writing environmental pieces that basically the climate alarmists don't like, they'll do what they can to censor you, right? That we know that. But there are times when news should self-censor, even nowadays. And I have been involved in that. There's more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
The report is really saying that environmental journalism has become a high-risk journalism. It's because more and more environmental journalists are attacked.
There we go. There we go again. UNESCO is all involved about environmental reporting. I told you I've been involved in self-censorship of news operations and stories. I've taught for decades young journalists entering the business, and I point out to them there are times you need to hold the information, because if you let it out early, someone might get hurt. The example I always give, and I mentioned this before, you learn that from a captain in the local police department that the president of a particular bank, his wife has been kidnapped, being held hostage. It's a big story. But if that word gets out, they've made it clear, if the news gets out or the police are involved, they will kill her. So I say, you sit on that story. I don't care what you got. You sit on it. They may eventually have so many reporters calling and asking about it. They call everyone together in the room, say, we're going to give you this off the record background, so you're aware of it. Don't touch any more buttons. Let's just let it resolve. And tell everyone in the room, you're under a seal. We're going to keep this silent. And they all agree. And they tell them such and such time, date, and so forth, the woman was kidnapped, here's where we are, but you got to wait until you get something from us. And sure enough, somebody goes out and decides to get on the air and say, we just got word that somebody, and they break it. They broke the seal. Once you break the seal, then the information will start flowing. And I've been involved in making sure it does then. And I will call back the captain or whoever brought us in to talk to us and said, I'm honoring and would honor that, but now it's out there. And this is like that bag of 100 feathers. You go out in the street, throw them up in the air, and come back tomorrow and trying to find all of them. You won't find all of them. You need only one to be out there running around. And I might be told, well, they will never hear that on that particular station. How do you know that? You don't know that, and I don't know that. The story's out there. Now, what can you give us that you haven't given us, descriptions or whatever, that we can use to help you? Otherwise, if it's not been broken, we censor the story. We do not put the story out. I don't want to be responsible for getting someone killed. But once the story's out there, I can't control anything beyond that. Now, you could say, well, Larry, you don't report it because everybody listens and watches you. So be it, from your lips to God's ear. But they really don't. I know other sources exist. So you reach a point where you can no longer keep it quiet, but you try to put it in a perspective and maybe informative to help resolve the crisis. I've gone to battle in newsrooms where they have wanted to run forward with a story that we all knew was, one, dicey, wasn't completely backed up, didn't have the right sourcing, and in some cases we knew it could be hazardous, whoever might be at the center of it. And I just flat refused in one case. Not going to read the story. You won't have so-and-so read it. They can read it, but I'm not reading it. What do you mean you're not going to read it? I said, I'm not. I'll be responsible. And there's nothing worse than you did withhold it. You did not release the story until everyone else had it. And yet when it comes to trial, one of the survivors of a shootout with police that was involved in the kidnapping says from the stand, no, I didn't hear from that station or that station. I heard it when Larry Connors said it on the air. And that's when we decided we need to kill her. There is a legitimate reason for self-censorship inside the news business. Aside from censoring stuff that shouldn't even be on the air to begin with. I don't like censorship. It does chill things. I fight against it. But each has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. That's the way we should be doing it. And just because it involves something about the climate, I'm not going to censor that story. Any story I choose or that I would agree to censor must have something of value that could be lost and never retrieved, such as a life. That's the story behind the story of self-censorship with news. The story behind the story coming up Monday. Fidel Castro comes into power. We've got another hour to come. Make sure you stay with us and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.